Support for WNYC Studios comes from Herman Miller, the design company whose commitment to LGBTQ inclusion has earned them a perfect score on the Human Rights Campaign Corporate Equality Index for 13 years running. Find out more at hermanmiller.com/pride.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Now then, we're going to kick off the snap with a story of amazing talent. Tristan R. Whiston first debuted as a solo soprano at the age of 6. With that beginning, years of hard work led to an accomplished singing career. But Tristan decided to give up the most precious thing a singer has. Snap judgment.
I am sailing.
I am starting today my radio diary, where I'm going to basically record my singing as it changes as I transition. And soon, I'm going to start testosterone, and my voice is going to change. And, you know, at this very minute, thinking about that, it feels a bit scary. It feels like there might be some loss. My name used to be Ruth. That's what I was christened, Ruth Margaret.
Here's Ruth just appeared down. It's 10 o'clock at night. She's just going to sing the song for Grandad.
To a cowboy, all dressed in red, fell off his horse and fractured his head. Blood on the saddle, blood on the ground, great big blobs of blood all around.
Well done!
Like, as a kid, every day I had battles for really quite simple things. Like, I can remember going to nursery school and my mother put a barrette in my hair, right in the middle of my head. The idea of walking up the steps and walking in to my nursery school class with this barrette in my hair seemed mortifying to my 4-year-old self. It was just so upsetting, and I was like crying and crying, please, please, mommy, please, take it out. As we were, you know, walking up the steps to the nursery school, she kind of reached down and took it out, and then it was like, you know, the sun shone again for me, and it was like, wow, I dodged another bullet. When I was about 12, like, we were all playing football like we always did, and me and all the boys of the neighborhood of Lockerbie, and they're picking teams, and I was the last one to be picked. And somebody kind of reluctantly said, you know, who's going to take Chubbs? Who's going to do this incredible favor? Who's going to make the sacrifice of taking a girl? I looked over at my brother. All I remember is seeing him turn away, look really embarrassed. And that was it. That was it for me in, like, my boyhood. It was like a seam being ripped apart. You know, it sounds so dramatic, but it was dramatic. It was the moment when I really learned what it was going to be like to be me. That's it. I'm not a boy.
The water is wide, I cannot.
You know, and then for years it was like, wow, it's like I went to sleep. You know, I went to sleep and I was this boy, and somehow I woke up as a woman and I did not know who that was. And a few years later, I called my mother and had that talk with her where I said, there's something you should know, I'm a lesbian. And the first thing she said was, well, you've always wanted to be a boy. And I was like, what are you talking about? Who says that, you know, I want to be a boy, I'm a lesbian, you know, I was actually, you know, for a couple of years, really finding something about being a woman that I could sort of relate to for the first time. And a few years after that, I was like, well, maybe I can explore the being a boy. And I did. It was like so wonderful to have this feeling of like another kind of coming out.
I do realize that you have really lived as a boy for a long time. So transitioning doesn't really shock me.
And how did Dad react when you told him? You told him?
I told your dad, and he didn't really say anything. And once he did say to me, I hope I'm dead before this happens. But it's something, it's out of our realm, really. We don't live where a lot of people are transitioning. Everybody we know's got, you know, kids and grandkids.
There was something about hearing that my father would rather be dead than to kind of live with me through my transition. It just sent me really to a real place of like, I'm such a freak. Like, what am I thinking? Brought up a lot of really old kinds of feelings about not being the right kind of child, not being a girl that they could be proud of. In a week's time, I will get my first testosterone shot. Yeah, I'm scared. And I'm excited. At the beginning of any journey, a ship sets sail.
Okay, I'm ready.
At the point of departure, there's, you know, all this hoopla. There's like ticker tape and there's rice being thrown and people are cheering. And
okay, so basically I'm going to go into a muscle in your buttock. So I need you to take your pants off, just kind of drop them down to below hip level.
It's possible at the other end of the journey there'll be people waiting, you know, friends and family, and there'll be some celebrations then too.
Now I'm going to inject the testosterone in, and you might feel a little bit of a pinch. Shouldn't be very painful. Okay, it's all in, and we're done. How was that?
Good.
Okay.
But in between here and there, in between this shore and that shore, the boat just chugs along. It chugs along.
Oh, Lord, to be with you, to be free.
I would say it was a little anticlimactic getting my first shot. I'd been waiting for it for a long time. You know, I guess some part of me maybe expected that, you know, I'd get my shot of testosterone and it would be like a thunderbolt or a lightning strike, and everything would be different and I'd be like the person I want to be. To be honest, I didn't feel anything at all. I got the shot and it was kind of like, oh, right, things happen slowly. They happen in a certain sequence and they happen over time. Just struck me in a real way that my voice is going to be changing. But it just really struck me. I don't have unlimited time with this voice.
To be free. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Home again, cross the sea.
So it's just been over a month that I've been on testosterone, not really noticing any big drastic changes, but there's something changing in my heart. There's like a lightness, a sense that I'm doing the right thing. Using the public bathrooms for me, it's always been a bit fraught because invariably if I go into a women's bathroom at a public space, I get looked at, hassled, told I'm in the wrong bathroom. But I can be kind of like, oh, no, it's your mistake. There's a certain safety. I can sort of reach back and, you know, it's kind of like, well, if I need to, I can prove it. Up to this point, I have been continuing to use female bathrooms. And yesterday, it felt like today I can pass for a guy. So I went in and I just kind of swaggered in and there's nobody else in it. So I kind of felt safe. But then just as I was coming out, a bunch of men came in and I just felt a little bit scary, so I kind of washed my hands really quickly and just kind of swaggered out.
I am sailing, I am sailing home again, cross the sea.
My voice is breaking. The whole middle of my voice feels a bit like cheesecloth, like I'm singing or I'm talking and it just feels gravelly and holy, like I've smoked, you know, way too many cigarettes and drank bottles of whiskey, and I wake up the next morning and I'm like, hello.
Can you hear me?
I'm catching sight of myself in mirrors and I don't exactly recognize myself right away. I like what I see. I like the way my body's changing. I love the muscles. I love the broadening of the shoulders. My walk is changing. The way I smile feels like it's changing. There's more confidence in myself moving through the world.
Okay, so I'm gonna shave now. It's the shaving cream. So, I don't know who teaches guys how to shave, but I feel like I'm a little late in the game to be learning. I guess dads probably teach their sons how to shave. Or older brothers, maybe. I'm self-taught.
I haven't talked to my dad really since May. My brother, I've sent two emails letting him know that I'm transitioning and haven't heard back. I feel like I'm a bit of a, you know, I'm on a ship sailing solo through the sea. And, you know, I'm leaving people behind on one shore. And some of those people will be on the other shore when I get there to welcome me home. And some of them won't.
I am sailing, I am sailing home again, cross the sea, I am sailing.
My voice is finally broken. So, makes singing not that much fun right now. It's, makes me feel really vulnerable.
I am sailing, I am sailing home again.
Do you notice any differences in the way I look or sound?
Your voice is a little deeper. Look, you do look more masculine. You've got broader shoulders now. More masculine shape, more chunky. Not fat, but more chunky. We don't think any less of you because you're male than you're female. So.
Yeah, that's good
of you. Oh, you're still our kid, right?
Somebody asked me the other day, you know, if I consider myself a trans man or if I consider myself a man. And I said I consider myself a trans man because I bring with me those 37 years. 1 year on testosterone doesn't mean those years disappear.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me through the dark night far away?
It is March the 21st. Today it's April 20th.
It's
May the 2nd.
It's June the 27th.
It's July the 11th.
It's Tristan and it's August the 18th.
This is Tristan and it's
September the 23rd.
And it's October the 15th.
It's Tristan. It's November
Hi,
the 3rd.
Hi, this is Tristan. It's December the
10th. Hi, this is Tristan and it's April. And I've now been on testosterone for 1 year.
To be free.
My voice, my speaking voice and my singing voice have changed quite a lot. And I've changed quite a lot. And I don't feel like I've changed at all.
Thank you so much, Tristan, for sharing your story with Snap. Tristan recorded an audio diary over the course of a full year. The piece is entitled Middle Sea and originally aired in Canada on the CBC. It won the Premius Ondas Award for International Radio and a silver medal at the New York Festivals. Middle C was produced for CBC Radio's Out Front by Tristan R. Whiston and Karma Jolly. We'll have a link to the full piece, as well as Tristan's other work, at snapjudgment.org.